From Acts chapter 4, I'll begin with verse 36. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, and then he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
I share with you my very feeble musical talents this morning. Not because I'm endowed with a great voice, but because my daddy likes to hear me sing. And today's Father's Day. And that's what we do on Father's Day. We give to those and we celebrate them in ways in recognition of how they've given to us. Now, some of you are well pleased that this only comes around once a year. And as I shared with our young disciples this morning, when we think of Father's Day, it also brings to mind for me a reminder of the father of our country, George Washington. I've read the biography of Washington by Ron Chernoff. And he shares that of the many great leadership and intellectual and military skills that Washington had, one of the greatest gifts he had was his humility. But he said, you know, Washington didn't start out a humble man. As a young person, he was a hard charger, driven, filled with aspiration and energy. He joined the British Army, but he didn't excel to the highest ranks that he'd hoped to. So he felt some sense of failure. And throughout his life, Washington, as a young man, was always pushing, driving, trying to pursue more so that he could find himself finally gratified. But as he grew older, the biography explained that Washington learned to be much more humble in his approach to leadership and life, and how he loved his family and his country and those around him. The emphasis, it seems, shifted for Washington not so much pursuing his own accolade, but serving those around him. What a gift of humility. The gift of leadership. You know, throughout Scripture, we're given examples of people in our faith. As we consider this series on the book of Acts, as we're journeying through the infancy of our church, we see leaders. Those who exemplify traits for us as the church to embrace as we seek to continue to grow as God's people and embody the nature of Jesus Christ in our world that needs his love so much. You know, I think of the great leader Moses that many of us are familiar with. In Numbers chapter 12, we recollect on the gifts that Moses brought to leadership. And the most important aspect, it seems, is that Numbers 12 tells us that Moses was a very humble man. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And as we consider our reading this day on the life of Barnabas, he is often one that can be overlooked. We hear today where he was described as the son of encouragement. He's thought of as a traveling companion of Paul, a sojourner in the faith, one who shared in his mission and ministry. But I would like for us to gain a little more full view of Barnabas today, to understand more about his nature, his leadership, yes, and his humility. In our scripture today, it tells us that Barnabas sold a field and laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. It tells us prior to that, though, that Barnabas was a Levite. Now, perhaps we're not getting into the depths of knowing what it... We're not up on our Levites, right? We may not be up on that today. But a Levi in the first century world were the priestly order. Those who should be being served. Who should be taken care of. That was part of the ordinance of the church, right? Part of the offerings set aside to take care of those of the Levite tribe. And here we hear in our scriptures that Barnabas, a Levite, turned that model upside down. Instead of being one who should have received, Barnabas became one who gave. So a symbolism for us of his great generosity. As well as being an encourager of others, Barnabas not only was an encourager in what he said, but also in what he did. How he practiced his faith, how he gave of himself to serve those around him. And the fact that Barnabas would lay these gifts at the feet of the apostles, it's a sign of his humility, his willingness to entrust them for the leadership of the church. Throughout his life, we see examples even throughout Acts of Barnabas living for the other. Sure, much of Acts is dedicated to the life and mission and ministry of Paul. But beginning in verse 9 of Acts, we hear this transition where Paul made his conversion. We're going to hear that sermon in a couple of weeks where he went from Saul, the persecutor of church, to Paul, the proclaimer of the gospel. And Paul made his journey to Jerusalem. He wanted to be involved in the ministry of the church. You can imagine the response of the apostles. They weren't so willing to embrace Paul, the one who had persecuted, who had put their friends and brothers in jail, who had celebrated the very death of Stephen, one of the first evangelists of the faith. But yet it says to us in Acts 9 that Barnabas went with Paul and helped him to meet and be received by the apostles. You see the humility there? If it were not for Barnabas, friends, we may never have known the full impact of Paul's ministry. Barnabas was willing to stand back and support and encourage another on his journey. Oh, how we need the Barnabases in our church, in our community, in our families. Those who are not so consumed with their own glory and gratification, much like the learning of George Washington, that was willing to serve those around him for the greater good of us all. So the scriptures remind us throughout of the gift of humility. But so impactful was Barnabas upon Paul's life, I think that it had to be in the back of Paul's mind when he wrote these celebrated words in the Philippians book, chapter 2. When he said, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's anything in Christ that would inspire you to live for the other, then he said, make my joy complete. Paul said, put on the same nature of Jesus Christ, who though was in the form of God, humbled himself and became obedient unto us, even unto death. You see, Paul, at the highlight of his ministry, At the depths of his persecution in the Philippi prison, Paul remembered the lesson of humility taught to him first by Barnabas and exemplified in the life of our Savior. Is there any more humble gift than Jesus Christ to come to give up his royal throne and embrace being a slave so that we could be set free forever from our brokenness? Friends, that's the gift of humility. It's the call to our faith to embody that nature of Christ in how we serve his people as his church. So if we're convinced, or if we're willing to at least consider that being humble is something good, let us examine more closely, what does it mean to be humble? Presbyterian pastor and well-known author Tim Keller describes humility in this way. He said, being humble is not so much about thinking less of yourself as it is thinking of yourself less. Wow. Not being so consumed with our own needs, with our own wants and desires, as thinking more of the world around us. Perhaps that is what Jesus embodied when he said to us in his earthly ministry, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Oh, but those who humble themselves, friends, they are exalted. You see, this scripture, this call to humility, is not a defeatist mentality. It's not just for us to walk around meek and mild and say, oh, woe is me. No, the true goal and gift of leadership in our nation, as we've seen through the life of George Washington, in our church, as we saw through the leadership of Moses, in our mission and evangelism, when we saw that when Paul was at his greatest, he was humble. And Paul wasn't always humble, right? Sometimes he was sure of himself and full of himself. Biblical professor Dr. Gerald Stevens says this about Paul. He said, when Paul was at his best, it was in his ministry at Ephesus. He stayed there 2 years. He was hitting on all cylinders. His ministry was powerful. His evangelism was contagious. And many of us are familiar with these words in Acts chapter 20. When Paul says his farewell to the church in Ephesus, they gather around him and Paul is filled with tears. The church is filled with tears. And Paul's parting words are these: you know how I served each of you with humility in everything I did. See, I don't think it's a coincidence that when Paul was at his best, when his most effective ministry, when he was the greatest leader, he was also most centered on being humble. Less of him, more of the church, and more of those in need. So maybe Keller gives us a good picture of what humility is. And then it makes me wonder, why is humility effective as leadership? Why should we embrace humility? I shared with you about Noah's illness, but yesterday, even despite not feeling so well, he went and played baseball. He's playing with the Wooden Bat League over at New Albany, and he felt so bad he just decided to go ahead and hit a home run. And he was telling me about those wooden bats, and some of you baseball players can relate to this. It's harder to hit with a wooden bat. My question was, is it not as powerful? That's not the answer. The power is just the same, pretty much, oftentimes, with a wooden bat. But you know what sets a wooden bat apart from a metal bat? The sweet spot. The sweet spot on a fabricated bat is much larger. The margin for error is greater on a metal bat when the sweet spot on a wooden bat is much smaller. You have to be more precise. It's less forgiving. You got it? You understand that? I kind of do, but not completely. But that reminds me, I think, of the gift of humility. You see, when we embody a humble nature, when we strive to live for the concerns of others and not just our own concerns, as Paul said in Philippians 2, friends, it allows our sweet spot, our margin of error, to be greater. Here's what I mean. I saw just yesterday on ESPN that the Los Angeles Lakers were considering some type of trade and redesign of their team. And the commentator made this statement: as long as Magic Johnson is behind it, then everyone will buy into it. And they went on to say, you know, if it was the owner or the general manager, people might be quick to be naysayers. Oh, but Magic Johnson, if his blessing is upon it, it will be well received. Their point was to say that Magic Johnson had a greater margin of error. You see how he had earned that? He had a larger sweet spot. His swing, like a metal bat instead of a wooden bat, could be more forgiven even if he was off target. You see, friends, when we embody a humble nature, when we don't push and shove and demand our way, those who we seek to lead are more receptive, even when we make mistakes, even when we don't hit it on the sweet spot as often. Maybe that was what was central in George Washington's life. He was so willing to give over leadership of this country, unwilling to become the king that some wanted, then how could those that he sought to lead refused to listen to what he had to say? He demanded through his life their respect and adulation. Friends, that's the nature of our Lord. That's the call that Jesus embodied as the Savior of the world, to humble himself so that we with him may be lifted up. So friends, if we understand greater today what it means to be humble, and if we understand more why should we be humble, the question that stands before me that I wrestle with you with is how. How do we grow in humility? I think of the old song. You know, I sang more about Jesus this morning. I thought about singing, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." Some of y'all remember that one? "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." We get a kick out of that because the silliness of it. But truly, how do we as people of faith, how can we embody a more humble nature? Friends, I'm convinced that the song that I shared with you earlier gives us a hint. More. More about Jesus. Tim Keller, the theologian and pastor, tells us what humility is, but I want to add an addendum to that description of humility that tells us how to embody it. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves. Humility is thinking of ourselves less. And how do we become humble? By thinking more about Jesus. May we embody him daily and grow in his grace and humility as we serve this world to his glory. Amen. Let's receive.